Well, hey there, it's Debs the Horoscope Lady, and how are you this evening on this fine, fine Chinese New Year? It is February 7th, 2008, and I ask tonight, like I do every other Thursday night when I'm on, do you know where your planets are? For instance, the Sun right now is still in Capricorn, along with Neptune, Chiron, and a very retrograde Mercury. The Moon is in 5 degrees of Aquarius, very close to the North Node, which is why we had an eclipse yesterday. And we'll be having another one in 2 weeks. I'll talk about that in a bit. Uranus is in Aquarius. Mars is finally moving direct. Not very quickly, but at least it's going forward. And Gemini, the South Node is over there in Leo, which is where the lunar eclipse is going to be in a couple weeks. And Saturn is in Leo. Pluto, Jupiter, and Venus are all in Sagittarius. Venus will be moving this week, though. She'll pull ahead ahead of the guys, and she's going to get into Capricorn. And if none of that sounded just quite right, well, then you don't know about sidereal astrology. I'm a sidereal astrologer, and that means I look at the planets against the backdrop of the constellations. And you say, what? Isn't that what all astrology does? And I would tell you, absolutely not. Tropical astrology uses the seasons, which keep on changing. And as with the precession of the equinoxes, that's a whole lot of math to be talking about on a Thursday afternoon or evening, depending on where you're listening to me. But if you use this type of astrology, it is the astronomy that NASA uses. It is the zodiac that the Vedics use. But sidereal interpretations are Western. I tell you, if you will do that, you will find a new tool in your life that will help you get through life more easily and have a bit more fun along the way. All right, where to start? Chinese New Year. I want to start with Chinese New Year. I am not, by any stretch of the imagination, an expert in Chinese astrology, but since I do what I do, a few years ago, people started asking me, who knew me as a local astrologer, to talk about it on various radio shows. Or, like, on February 9th, I'm going to be at the Pink Pantry, which is right down here in lovely downtown historic Clifton, Virginia. Danielle, the owner, she's having a whole day of festivities featuring different Chinese teas, children's books, games, and, of course, me discussing Chinese astrology. I'll also, of course, be talking about sidereal astrology, that I know best. But Chinese astrology makes a lot of sense to me for various reasons, one of which, their calendars. Now, China for a long time has used the Western calendar, but when they use their festivals, plan their festivals out, they use the old Chinese date calendar. Today is February 7th and just became 2008 for them over there. The Chinese date is, where is that? I actually had it. Oh, I did have it, but I can't read it in Chinese. Well, never mind. pardon me. I still have a little bit of a chest thing here. When I laugh, I cough. But their months start every month on the new moon. So, of course, there's 13 months in a year. And that makes so much, you know, more sense than, you know, what we do. With, you know, of course, it's always fun to have Sadie Hawkins Day on February 29th when we have leap year, like we will this year. And then all the other months get divided up into 30 and 31 days. They go every single month, new moon, boom, we're going to start that. And that's lovely. So this year is the year of the rat. So if you were born 12 years ago, you would be having... Astrologers, Western astrologers and Vedic astrologers even, would be telling you you'd be having a Jupiter return, because every 12 years Jupiter gets back to the place it was when you were born. In Chinese astrology, it's the same thing. You would be having a return of the year you were born. Two ways to look at this. Now, some astrologers, Western astrologers, say, yippee-ki-yay, it's a Jupiter. You know, everything, you get lucky, you get expansion, you get all kinds of great things happening. I would tell you that it depends on your chart, and a lot of astrologers, the Hellenistic astrologers and even the Chinese astrologers, would tell you that the year of your birth that's returned or a Jupiter returned is actually dangerous, And I'll talk a little bit more about that after I take this caller. Hello, caller. How are you this evening?
Hello?
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? I can barely hear you, though.
I can hear you loud and clear, so I guess that's a good thing. I don't know if you can turn the volume up on your phone.
Let me try here.
How's that?
Okay, yeah, it's better.
Oh, good deal.
Idea.
Well, see, the other thing is Mercury is retrograde right now. So let me have your name, your birth date, and what would you like to talk about?
My name's Dean. My birthday is 11/29/51.
Dean, do you know what time you were born?
I'm not sure, but I think it was around... My birth certificate says 3:15 p.m., but I had an astrology reading probably 10 years ago that said that couldn't be right. They said it was more like 3:55 p.m.
Okay, well, we'll look at that. And what's the place?
St. Louis, Missouri.
And where, Missouri?
St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, St. Louis, okay. And what is your question this evening?
I'm in the process of starting a couple new businesses now, and I just wonder if you could tell me how that, what the signs say about that.
All right.
Like financial aspects.
Let me look. Like I said, I will tell you that, all right, until this works exactly the way it's supposed to work, what type of businesses are you gearing towards?
Building, like construction.
Oh, how wonderful.
And also
actually, that right now is an excellent field to go into. I know they keep talking about the slowdown, but there are plenty of places that need, need building and to be rebuilt in this country. Are you talking about in this country or out of this country?
Both.
Okay.
And, overall the markets is not good, but there are a few pockets that are... Yeah, really good. And the other one is marketing.
And marketing, okay. All right, first let me ask as far as your birth time is concerned. If you were born at 3:15, it would give you, now I do sidereal astrology, so it would give you an Aries rising if you were born at 3:55. Well, let me see, I might still be an Aries rising as opposed to Taurus rising. Let me see what that's doing.
Well, I always understood I had Taurus rising, so, but...
No. Pardon me. That would definitely be 3:55 p.m. Are you more apt to have headaches or injuries to your head or shoulders and neck problems where you carry your stress?
Probably shoulders and neck.
Okay. Well, we're going to leave you at Taurus rising then. All right. Yeah, this is a good-looking chart. Let me see here. Dean, for the day you were born, November 29th, 1951, the sun was actually in 13 degrees of Scorpio. It was the middle of Scorpio, and so was the moon there, Taurus rising, in the seventh house. This is good. As far as, you know, being a year to start businesses, to start an enterprise, a new enterprise, this actually is a good year, and astrologically, I will tell you, there's two good reasons for it. One, the planet Jupiter is in your eighth house, so it's a good time to lay your groundwork and do everything that you need to do. Next year, 2009, you would be growing in reputation and traveling quite a bit, and by 2010, you should be very well known about what you're doing. So if you wait another year, that won't give you as much time to get your name out there and get noticed. Okay, does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. Traveling, it looks like you're going to be doing quite a bit of traveling in 2009. The other reason I say this is because this planet Mars, which normally spends 6 weeks in each house, is because of the retrograde it just went through, is spending 6 months. And with you having Taurus rising, it was for anyone with sidereal Taurus rising, you've been focusing on finances since September and will continue to focus on them heavily until the end of April. The good news is that your finances get better and better and better. All you have to do is pay attention to them, and they get better. So that's kind of nice. The eclipse in 2 weeks is very close to something you have in your chart in your fourth house. So I don't know if you're getting ready. What could you lose in 2 weeks?
Not much.
Not much. I mean, it's already happened, you know.
Yeah.
It's just not much else is left.
Last year was not such a good year for me.
Yeah. Well, lots of us had those years. Last year was not such a good year for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm just, I need to get a construction loan for one. And that's everything's kind of based.
You can do that this year. With that Jupiter transiting the eighth house, you can get a loan, get other people's money that's going to help you do this,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is you're doing. 3, 6, 9. I mean, if you can write out a decent business plan and, you know, show them, I know those things are so damn boring. Oh, pardon my language, but I've had to write out a lot of them. And business plans crack me up because they're your best guess. Because, you know, if you've been in business or, you know, even just having a life, you realize, yes, we should be making this amount of money until the hurricane came. You know, it's like, all right, then everything changed. But you still have to write out a plan. If you can write out a decent plan, after Mercury goes direct in a couple of weeks, I start testing the waters and to see, you know, go into, if you've got a relationship with the bank, start there first. And, you know, let them tell you what they like about the plan, what they don't like about the plan, and then you can rewrite it or go to the Small Business Administration, who's got way too much paperwork, but they have a group of retired executives called SCORE. Mm-hmm. It's an acronym for seniors.
Yeah, I'm familiar with SCORE.
Okay, good deal. Those guys, you know, they know what they've been there, and they know where to go, what to do, how to say it. But no, this is a great year for you to start over. And if you do, you know, like I said, next year you'll be traveling. So whatever you're planning on doing, look, you wouldn't be thinking about doing green roofs, would you?
Green what?
Green roofs.
Green roofs?
Green roofs. That is the up and coming. Google that, green roofs.
R-O-O-F-S?
Huh?
How are you spelling green? Green what?
I know. It's my Southern Maryland accent. Roof. R-O-O-F. Roof.
Oh, roof. Okay.
Yeah.
No,
like, it's my accent.
About,
I can't help it.
Solar panels on the roof?
In Europe, they don't even build any building now in Germany without putting one on. They're starting to catch on in this country. And I can tell you that the companies that are doing it now are going to be the ones that in 10 years everybody looks to. And I can see with your chart, you've got, and anyone born around November 29th, 1951, you've got Mars, you've got Saturn, you've got Neptune, you've got Venus, all in Virgo. And you are excellent at seeing something and improving it. You're just naturally good at that. And you can go and you can take an idea or take a plan or take an existing structure and make it better. So, and people, you know, it's kind of nice. People actually, they like you. And the reason I say that, again, I'm looking at your chart, and you have both the sun and the moon in the seventh house. So when people meet you, they you know, the Taurus rising, they see solid, they see dependable, and they see someone that is very likable underneath that. As quiet as you are, as private as you are, all that other stuff, they see you as likable. And that's what you need to be to sell this green roof technology. Dean, I think this is, I mean, you said marketing, but I'm thinking marketing after a while would bore you to tears.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You want to be able to see, you want to be able to go out, get some work done, and see a result.
Right.
This would do it for you.
Well, when I say marketing, I've got some special, it's kind of more like a deal-making thing where I put two companies or more together and just create something where there wasn't before. So it's not the typical boring type of marketing. It's a real creative type of marketing.
Well, I can see that because, again, what you're good at is you're good at taking something, and I love that, taking two companies, putting them together, and making and doing an improvement on it.
Right.
But that's still never, ever going to satisfy you at, like, seeing a finished product.
Yeah, I get bored real easily.
Yeah, so there you go. All right. Look up the green roofs. Mm-hmm. Roofs, I know. Isn't that funny? I can't say roll either. Do you know what I just tried to say? Roll. R-U-R-A-L. It's how everybody who lives in southern Maryland down by the water, where it got settled in the 1500s, this is how they talk. And so, it's at any rate, it gets stuck with you.
Do you have any other questions?
So
you're saying 2009. Are you saying I won't be able to accomplish much this year?
No, I did not say that at all. I said if you lay all the groundwork and get stuff done this year, you'll be able to accomplish even more in 2009 and 2010. Because you're going to travel in 2009, and people are going to notice you in 2010. And this is something I get all the time with some of my clients that make me crazy. Because I will tell them, all right, you know, it's like the boat's coming. You know, get ready, pack your bags, get ready to go. And what they do is, instead of preparing for this thing, they wander down to the dock right when the boat is there and get on without any preparation, you know, theoretically. And they say, oh, yeah, I had a nice trip, but eh. And it's like, that's right, you could have had a great trip. The same thing. The more you prepare right now, the more you start making things happen right now, the more well-known you're going to be and the more money you're going to make. It's going to translate into dollars, which is very nice.
Yeah, well, that's good because I love to travel. I've done quite a bit of traveling in my life, but not for the past several years, and I've really been wanting to do a lot more traveling. But I've been kind of pinned down for a few different reasons lately. But, yeah, I'm real anxious to start traveling again.
Yeah, well, good, because, I mean, it's all right here. It's just a matter of, you know, getting up and, you know, seeing what's available. So please, look up that new technology, that new thing, which is actually a very old idea that's coming back. And municipal buildings in particular, they're going to be the first ones in an area that is putting this on. It is so good for the environment, if nothing else. We've had trouble in watershed areas for years and years and years just because of all the pavement in the area. And when, you know, the rain comes down, it's not absorbed into the ground. It ends up getting in the sewers and, you know, backing things up, and the rest of that goes out to the seas. Green roofs absorb, you know, most of the water that, you know, comes down. And then when the water comes out, it's actually filtered. I mean, it's just incredible. It's helping air quality, you know, helping keep down the pollution. It is helping heating and cooling costs in people's homes and, like I said, municipal areas, schools, government buildings, and so on and so on. So if you can get on the ground floor of that in particular, or if you have another idea, then I'm telling you, those people who are doing it now, and I do know one roofer that does this, and he's constantly traveling because there's so few people that do what he does.
Right.
So he might have a job in Chicago this week, then he's back here in Virginia, and then, you know, he's off to Missouri next week. I mean, it's just different places.
Sure.
So, yeah, get started on this now.
Great. I'll check it out.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Deb. Appreciate it.
Sure enough. Have a great one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Let's see. That was Dean. What else? Oh, I was talking about Chinese astrology. Okay. Chinese astrology. The other thing I like about Chinese astrology that I just sounds so much fun to me is in the new year, just like, you know, anywhere else, it's a time for new beginnings. Families clean their house up, they give gifts, they buy new clothes, they prepare special food, you know, just how we do here. However, what they also have is everybody becomes a day older, 1 year older in that year, because it becomes everybody's birthday. And I just think that's so much fun. It's like you get two birthdays a year. You get your own birthday, and then you get the Chinese New Year. So I like to celebrate birthdays, so there you go. Oh, hello, caller.
Hi, Deb.
How are you?
I am well, thank you. This is Priya speaking.
Okay.
And my birthday is October the 1st, 1973.
October 1st, 1973. Do you know
born
the time?
Born in Bombay, India.
Oh, that's fine. What time is it?
12:15 a.m.
In Bombay, India. Did I talk to you a couple of months ago?
Yes, you did.
Oh, sweetheart, I recognize your voice. That's a very good.
Sweet.
Well, thanks for locating me, because I think I've moved since I've talked to you, time-wise.
You know, it threw me off a little bit, and then I called DBS and, you know, got your new time and everything.
Oh, well, thank you. Anyway, what can I do for you today?
Well, I am wondering what, you know, major transits are going on currently for me, Deb, because I find myself at a crossroads, you know, decisions and choices to be made, and I just want to know how to best use this current time.
Okay. Oh, that sounds good. All right. First of all, she was born October 1st, 1973. Anybody born October 1st of any year? The sun was going to be in Virgo, 13 degrees of Virgo, or 14 perhaps, but it had not moved anywhere else. It was in Virgo. All right, what you've got going on right now, again, and I just mentioned it with the gentleman I just talked to, is you've got this daggone Mars transit that is so long, and so many people are having trouble with this because 6 months of this, you know, a hard-hitting planet, essentially, is a lot of energy to have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Yours has been, your whole transit has been in your first house. So it's very much affected, you know, your life in general. You're a Gemini rising. And you've got Saturn in there, too. So it's like, you keep running into stumbling blocks.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to give you some cutesy little platitude about, you know, turn stumbling blocks into stepping stones. Why are you going through this? Because it's tough. It is tough. However, it is doable. It is absolutely doable. And part of the reason I say that is because lovely transiting Jupiter is in your seventh house. So that's friendship and that's help from other people. And it's good things all around you. And again, it's rising up in your chart.
Yes. Deb has been having the hardest time finding a job. Well, it doesn't help that I don't know what I want. And, you know, with this Mars retrograde until, you know, just did a number on me. I mean, you know, I wanted to move forward and just, you know, stumbling blocks all over the place, and I suddenly found this energy and didn't know what the hell to do with it. And
yes.
Anyways, but now it's like, you know, with Mars going direct, I was excited, but I still have not been able to get speed, just momentum.
Yeah, well, Mercury, like you said, Mercury just went retrograde last week. It's going to be retrograde for another 2 weeks, and it is hard to get momentum with that. It's kind of a cruel joke for the universe to play. Well, what was it? One I tore out today I really liked from Frank Lloyd Wright that says, "I know the price of success, dedication, hard work, and an unremitting devotion. To the things you want to see happen." And I think that's going to be your key. I know you just said, "I don't know what I want to do."
Yeah.
But figure out what kind of life you want first. Do you want to get up early in the morning? I mean, I'm talking simple things. Do you want to get up early in the morning, or do you want to sleep in? Do you want to have a job where you talk to a lot of people? Or would you prefer just to get a lot of work done without having to have group discussions or something along those lines?
Mm-hmm. For the first time in my life, Deb, I am actually doing that just out of desperation and because I don't know. And so I am doing some brainstorming and things like that. And, of course, that is frustrating because now I'm kind of sort of have this, you know, okay, my morning person, night person, whatever kind of thing, but then it's like, okay, you know, what kind of a job am I going to get into these parameters? And so, yeah, you know, there's a lot of frustration. I really don't mean to whine or anything, but I'm just trying to figure out how to best deal with this and just how to make the energies work for me and work with the energies.
Fair enough. I mean, you know, I certainly understand. I hear what you're saying, and I understand it deeply. There are, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people going through this right now because of the energies. You know, although because of the energies in the air, everything's so daggone up and down.
I'm my chart, you might probably see that. You know, I tend to be very, very sensitive, and so I internalize everything, and you know,
right.
The Pisces up there in the midheaven, and it's just too much.
Well, it is, and part of it is exactly what you just said. You do internalize a lot of stuff that is not personal.
Yeah.
You know, it really isn't personal, and that's what you have to remember. It's not personal. It's tough to remember that, but that's, you know, what's there.
Does my natal chart, Deb, have Mars? I'm sorry. Yes, Mars retrograde?
Yes, it does.
See, that doesn't help.
But that's not so bad.
Is
having
it,
a
is
Mars...
that right?
No, listen, having a Mars retrograde is not so bad. And I'll tell you why. Actually, I'm married to a man who has Mars retrograde, and my daughter has Mars retrograde. They are both tremendous athletes. But they're basically, they're not great with conflict.
Yeah.
And my daughter is a natural diplomat. Well, she was born with the sun in Libra anyway. But she's a natural diplomat. You've got Mercury in Libra. You've got Venus in Libra. You could negotiate, be a mediator for people. I mean, that would be a great job for you because you instinctively know with that Mars retrograde, you instinctively know that conflict is not the best way to resolve conflict is not through violence or bullying. Or, you know, chasing you down with a big stick or something like that.
Absolutely.
That is
the shadow
a skill.
Part of that. I'm sorry, go ahead, Deb.
No, that is a skill most people have to be taught.
Really?
See, you innately know that. You figured that one out, you know, from day one.
Yeah.
Is there any way, I don't know, where do you live now?
Portland, Oregon.
Okay. I don't know if there's any way, if there's something around a community college, anything, that you could take a course in mediation.
Oh,
because if you could have that under your belt, you could go in and help companies mediate. I mean, there's people that make livings not just helping marriage counselors and whatnot, but helping, like, unions. Workers talk to each other. Talk to the bosses, talk to big corporations, hire mediators all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You innately have those skills.
Yeah. You know, that is very true. I think I've kind of lived with the shadow part of that retrograde Mars too long, in the sense it's a fight with myself. I'm so busy fighting myself that I don't have time to deal with any other conflict.
Right. Well, you don't have here. Let me... I want to see what your Vedic, where you are Vedically.
And isn't my Pluto kind of so close to the IC too, Deb? I mean, I just
your Pluto's
I can't
actually very your Pluto.
Things.
Yeah, your Pluto's actually very close to your Sun. Okay, let me just figure out what day this is. February 2008. Okay, you are at the very end of a Mercury Dasa with Mercury Saturn being, Saturn being the secondary one. You were coming up on November 17th. You'll be coming up on a South Node Dasa. So let me go back and look at that again. Mercury Saturn. Okay, so the first house. So, of course, everything running through your first house, Mars running through that first house is not helpful at all. And then you're coming up to that south node, which is also first house. All right. Oh, goodness. Well, I would certainly suggest owning an emerald, as odd as that may sound, or surrounding yourself with emerald greens. It would calm you down. Even a lot of plants, deep green plants,
okay,
would give you a sense of balance and calm you down. You could breathe easier.
Okay.
And Portland, Oregon ought to be gorgeous. I mean, as far as the only time I was there, I'm trying to think what time, I guess it was spring, and it was gorgeous. But if if you can get to places where, like the botanical gardens or something, that you can actually, you'll breathe deeper, you'll be calm. But I know you could actually make a decent living as a mediator. Mars will start going faster and faster and faster, and as that happens, you'll start seeing the energy pick up. Now, you're not going to be able to do anything with it until April 28th. Really do anything with it.
Okay.
But if you hold on until then without being discouraged, you won't lose momentum. What you'll do is you'll spend between now and then gathering information, getting something plotted out.
Right. That's exactly. I started this whole thing saying I want to be able to, best make use of this time, because I'm with Jupiter 7th house, and I don't want to waste and let go of this opportunity that life is.
No. And you're smart. This is why I use astrology the same thing. I want to be able to use, the windows of opportunity when the windows are open.
Jupiter's in my 7th house. Why am I not able to collaborate with anybody? I try. I have the intention. I want to get out there, but it's not happening. And last year with Jupiter being in my 6th house, Deb, it certainly didn't seem to help me with my work. That's actually, it's been challenging even last year. So I'm like, is Jupiter upset with me or what?
Yeah. Well, I had to go back. That's why I went back to your Vedic chart to see what's the problem here. And you're in this time period, which has to do, if anyone's listening, has to do specifically not just with her birth date, but her birth time, because it's different for people born at different times of the day. And, it's very specific. So if anyone else, if you've got Mercury rising, if you've got Gemini rising, sidereally, as a rule, you can always wear emeralds or tourmalines, dark green, peridot, anything green, the green stones. Malachite, green stones, but also to surround yourself, very important. And I know a lot of astrologers will say Gemini is yellow or whatever, but it's Mercury ruled, it's green, and to surround yourself with plant life, you can breathe deep again, you can think again, you can be calm again. And it will strengthen you, because part of it is, it's just like how... You can't take advantage of good things when everything's in a knot.
Yes.
And that's it. And after a while, there's so much stress that seeps in, people just become like huge knot balls, essentially. It's like, okay, how do I even open my hand up so I can say thank you and accept something? Or, when your back hurts and everything else, it just kind of gets all crunchy. So
and I'm just trying to weed out, how much of this is just... in my head, and so so it really helps, for me to hear that, these things are going on too, and that, because I'm really trying to do my bit the best I can.
Well, of course you are. Absolutely you are. And that's half the battle. That really is. Because there's a lot of people that don't even try. They give up trying. Right now you've got transiting Jupiter. It's on your descendant. It's directly opposed your ascendant. And the trouble with that, as good as it can be, it's almost too much stimulation. And it's 17 degrees, it's sitting right on it. It's almost too much stimulation, which is why if at some point, even this weekend, you can get around a bunch of green plants, you'll see your whole attitude change.
Okay.
And once that happens, take out your Palm Pilot or, your journal, whatever it is you use, and start writing things down.
Okay. But when I do these things and can get myself into a calmer space, Deb, what is the time period that we did say April 28th.
April 28th, Mars. Yep. Mars will be moving out of your first house as of April 28th, going into your second house. So your finances should pick up then.
Okay.
But I want to see you positioned so your finances will be picking up because you're doing something to either increase your finances in the future, or you're doing something, you know, that you want to be doing, not just, okay, they offered me a job, it's not what I want to be doing kind of thing, but at least it's a job.
Right. I have a 10-year-old daughter, Deb, and, you know, she's a Gemini rising too, sidereally, and so it's like, you know, if dealing with one turbulent energy wasn't bad enough, you know, it's like she and
it's both of you.
Heads.
Yeah, it's both of you. Yeah, it's both of you. You know,
It is just intense as hell.
Yes, it is. Yes.
But
you know what's nice about having Hal? We'll tell you this. See, because my daughter actually, she's a, I'm a Leo rising. She's a Mercury rising. My husband's a Cancer rising. So we don't go through things at the same time period.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of 1, 2, and 3. So sometimes I'm thinking it would be better if we were all on the same page at the same time.
Yeah.
So at least you see the world the way your daughter sees it and vice versa.
Yes, I am thankful for that because I can totally X-ray vision her.
No, it's true. I mean, that is a blessing. Do this. Matter of fact, if you can, you know, take your daughter with you. You know, I'm sure there's a botanical gardens or something around you.
Oh, yeah.
Or then go together.
Yeah, we have the rose garden and the Japanese garden and, you know.
Oh, how lovely, yeah.
We have a ton of that. It's absolutely gorgeous. That green Portland is not lacking.
No, it's not. And, you know, take advantage of that. You can talk to people and... You know, like I said, once you get to a place where you're calmer, and you, like I said, you've got every reason to be wound tight. But once you get to a place to do that, because you do have this transiting Jupiter in your seventh house, and everyone with Gemini rising would have this now, Sagittarius on the seventh, people will start coming to you. You won't be able to keep them away. And they will come to you with information about things that you need, some things you don't need or don't want, but they'll come to you and say, oh, okay, well, do this, try this. Hi there, come work for me, you know. Oh, come take this class. That you won't be able to stop them.
Question for you, Deb. What does having Pluto that close to the sun do in my chart for me?
How do I feel like what, Deb?
Having Pluto close to the sun in my natal chart. How do you kind of interpret that?
Okay, well, pardon me, I don't personally have a problem with that because it's the way I view Pluto. First of all, I consider it transpersonal, truly transpersonal. Anything out past Saturn is transpersonal, so it's generational. I do think Pluto is a higher octave of Mercury, not Mars, but Mercury, the way the Hellenistic astrologers have been interpreting it. It makes much more sense to me. So it is about the subconscious thoughts that come in with anybody's generation. So if you have the sun and Pluto there, what you should be able to tap into are subconscious thoughts and feelings, particularly of your generation, but people around you. This will cause a problem if you're around a lot of negative people or around a lot of angry people.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, if you are around productive, goal-oriented, basically happy people, man, you suck that up and you give it right back to them.
Suck that up is right because, yeah, I really do feel like I can be very, very sponge-like and just absorb energies, good, bad, ugly, and everything in between. You know?
Yeah, well, that's what that Pluto sun does.
I see.
And I don't think you're going to get that interpretation from a tropical astrologer, but I can see it, it's a great thing. If you were around people who are positive-minded or goal-oriented, it obviously is a terrible thing, you know, if you're around people who are, you know, constantly crying poor or think the world is out to get them or something along those lines.
Yeah, the terror and all that terrible stuff happened growing up. I mean, it was the worst of its kind. But now I'm out of it, Deb, and I'm just having to erase all of that and, you know, move forward and bring the goodness in, you know, because it can go both ways and, you know, be able to sponge up the good part of it.
Yeah, well, that's Saturn in the first house. That is just tough.
Yep.
I mean, you got Saturn and the south node in the first house.
Yep.
And that is a soul that comes in here that has a, you know, early on tough life. But you guys are also the ones that once you get past that, you know, and some of you don't make it past that. You see early deaths where people will die between the age of 28 and 30 when they have their Saturn return.
I see.
You know, and if you get past that, then a lot of you actually end up making excellent therapists because you understand, you know, how things can go wrong and what needs to be said to a person, what kind of motivation they need to turn their life around.
Absolutely, Deb. Absolutely.
See, those are your talents. And I think you just take them for granted. You don't see them as talents.
I am beginning to, and that's kind of, you know, I really do feel like, you know, going through a rebirthing of sorts here. And so there's frustration, there's excitement and all of that. And I am seeing all that, and I'm thinking it's still not too late for me to, you know, now acknowledge these things and do the best I can with them.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not. Oh, my goodness, child, you are way young. No, you're young. No, it's not too late at all. You know, at all. Matter of fact, I think very much when that south node kicks in later on this year, that Dasa period, you will see a complete rebirthing of yourself. And if you spend between now, it was September or something when that happens, that, you know, really examining who you are as a person and how you want the world to see you, what you want your persona to be, what you want that mask to be. When people first meet you, what do you want them to see? And what kind of rose-colored glasses do you want to look through? Your life will change around, and it'll be like magic. You'll turn around, and you'll say, wow, why did I spend all that time doing that? Well, you did. You spent all that time doing that so you can turn around and help other people that are stuck in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not suffering for suffering's sake. It's because you've got a natural talent. Like I said, you just take for granted. Yeah,
I appreciate this.
I appreciate you calling in and certainly finding me after, I think this is the third spot I've been on since I've been on BBS. It's been a year, the end of February, and I think this is the third spot I've had. So I appreciate you calling to find me in, because there's no way, they don't have a search on it so you can type somebody in. You've got to scroll through the entire you know, week thing and hope that you see someone's name.
Right, because, I mean, beginning of the year, you know, I tried to get on, and I couldn't find you Monday, and so then, boom, I saw you in the archives, and I was concerned that you were no longer on, and so I called BBS, and they said that was a mistake. You shouldn't have, not archives, but archive show as a no longer on BBS. That's where I found you, and so I wasn't sure. So I called them, and then they fixed that error anyway. So I was relieved, because I just discovered your show and called you a couple of times, and then boom, I couldn't find you. And
well,
so
what happened was I was on Monday nights, and then Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve both were on Monday nights. So I
missed the New Year's Eve program, but then the first week of the New Year's, I think that's when you moved to the Thursday, and I couldn't find you on Monday, and I didn't look on Thursday, and you know, then I found you in the archive show. It was no longer playing on BBS, and so I called them. And
well, thank you so much for doing that. I know actually, you know, he's been Don has been doing big things, and he's got lots of irons in the fire, so. But believe me, I wasn't, I knew I was going to move off of Monday nights, but I didn't think I'd be so early in the day, at least for, you know, out there, but, and, you know, Western time, Pacific time. But, you know, it's worked out fine, and, you know, it's nice to be back, so.
Thank you very much, Deb. I really do appreciate your show, and you're talking to me, and so take care, and again, thank you very much.
Well, have a good evening. Have daughter. When you have daughter. When you have dinner with your daughter tonight, give her a hug for me, and have a great evening. And yes, happy Chinese New Year to you.
You too, Deb. Thank you. Goodbye.
All right. Let me see. What else? I wanted to talk about a couple more things other than the Chinese New Year. If I could stop this daggone cough, I'd be terrific. We just had the lunar eclipse yesterday, so I did want to mention that. If you have planets, now again, this is sidereal. This is not tropical. If you have planets around, oh, that's February 20th. That's the one that's coming up. there we go, around 23 degrees Capricorn, 23 degrees Cancer, 23 degrees Libra, or 23 degrees Aries. But particularly the Capricorn and the Cancer, you know, you got hit, you got eclipsed, you lost something. And the good thing about eclipses is that as they come around, they don't repeat every year. You'll have a couple years where you're affected by them, and then you're not, you know, for another 28 years or so. So we have that to say. Yes, caller. We have just, about 10 minutes left. How may I help you?
Hey, this is Leanne in Louisiana. How you doing?
Life is good. Hi, Leanne.
Well, good. I appreciate you offering this. And should I give you my birthday?
Your birth date, please, yes.
Okay, 5/4/66. And the time of my birth, do you need that?
Yes.
11:55 p.m.
And where at?
In New Orleans.
Oh, how lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most of my relatives down there were born in Bugaloosa or Slidell.
Really?
But we do have a couple born. My dad was born in New Orleans, actually.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm in Baton Rouge.
Oh, okay.
I was adopted.
Yeah.
And brought to Baton Rouge when I was 6 weeks old.
Okay. Well, I don't think there's any Dillards left down there that I'm related to. But, yeah, we had people. When I was a kid, I can't tell you all the years down there. But at any rate.
Well, good.
Yeah. So what would you like to know?
If you just want to look at maybe the chart or the...
General?
Yeah.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay.
All right, first of all, anyone born May 4th, 1966, or any year, sidereally, the sun was still in Aries for you. It had not gotten to Taurus yet. And you probably... I know you probably heard a lot of stuff about Tauruses and the way Tauruses are. You do have Capricorn rising, which gives you kind of a nice practical outlook to life, but you feel like an Aries, and you've got so much more energy than I will ever have. I'm actually a Taurus. I would love to have your energy. You have so much of it. You do. It's a lot of fun, you know, to be able to like walk into a room and say, okay, this needs to be done. Boom, boom,
sure.
Boom, and you just make it happen.
So am I really an Aries?
You really are. When you were born, the sun was in, if you could have seen it at the time,
uh-huh.
Of course, you know, you have to have a special telescope, it was in 20 degrees of Aries.
Not a Taurus.
Nope. Tropically, you're a Taurus, but sidereally, you're an Aries.
I always thought it was odd that when they explained what a Taurus is like, I was like, I never seemed to fit that, I didn't think.
Well, and you don't. See, that's one reason I switched almost 20 years ago now to sidereal astrology.
Because
there were too many people that said, that's not really me.
Uh-huh.
They'll nod their head up and down to be polite, but it's not really them.
Right.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, every single week you can go to searchbythestars.com and look up your free, it's under free stuff, your weekly horoscope.
Mm-hmm.
That's searchbythestars.com. Go under, up the heading that says free stuff, and you can see your free weekly horoscope. I update it every Friday.
Sure.
But in general, specifically for you, where you have spent the last, since September, that I'm talking about Mars again, and it's going to go through the end of April 28th.
Mm-hmm.
It's either been work or health issues with you.
Yes.
And
Mars is kind of chaotic, huh?
But the good news is, and there is definitely good news here.
Oh, good.
Between now and April 28th in particular,
uh-huh.
You will be able to figure out exactly, and if you ask for it, you get it. That's even better.
I do ask.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well. Yes. You know. See, you
I do
are
all
Aries.
The time.
You know. You
if I ask for what
the,
I want.
Yeah. Ask for what you want. You'll get the exact working conditions you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's been any health things, I would imagine it would be lungs or nerves.
Okay. Yeah, that would be right on.
Okay. Well.
Well, I smoke.
You smoke.
Yeah.
You know what? Now's a great time to quit.
Okay.
seriously, it is, because where the planetary energies are right now, one, your lungs are more sensitive.
Okay.
So it's like, okay, what can I do to help my lungs out here?
Mm-hmm.
I can quit smoking. As Mars starts moving up to your natal Jupiter, which is going to happen in about a week and a half.
Okay.
You're going to have a lot of energy.
Okay.
You're going to want things to happen and start moving.
Uh-huh.
And, well, Lent just started too, honey. So, I mean, it's a great time, literally, to say, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Could I detox my body or?
Yeah, I'd start a detox.
Detox and flush it out. I mean, I'm wondering, rebuild it. Any damage I've done.
I would do that. And the last 2 weeks of April should be extremely lucky for you. Now, they'll be lucky whether you detox or not,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I'll be honest with you. But if you keep that, so I want you to be able, you know, circle those 2 weeks on your calendar, and I want you to plan something that will either, I don't know, something to help, you know, a trip to Biloxi or something.
Okay.
But no, something that would help you get ahead or something that you wanted to do or someone you want to go talk to or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Plan to do it during those 2 weeks because they should be really lucky for you.
The last 2 weeks in April.
Yep.
Okay.
Last 2 weeks of April. And I'm trying to think when exactly. Again in April, something starts where you're going to be redoing your whole persona, you know, how people see you,
mm-hmm.
how you see the world.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see exactly when that starts, because it's going to go out for about 2 months.
I've been thinking about doing that.
Yeah, oh, good. Well, it's naturally it's going to happen. So the nice thing, I always tell people, if you plan it,
mm-hmm.
then it just makes it so much better. Okay, let's do this. Let's go out. I think it's going to be in the next 3 months. Let me look.
February, March, April. Well, 2 months. Two and a half.
Yeah, let me look here. Oh, yeah. You will be. And you're going to end up spending, once this kind of thing starts, it'll start in the beginning of May.
Okay.
And, okay, so you've had your two lucky weeks in the end of April.
Okay.
Pardon me, my coughing here. And then,
so I shouldn't work during those 2 weeks. I should go do something fun.
Oh, too much fun. Well, you may work because if you are working in a place that, you know, people may come in and you find somebody new walks through the door that can either tell you about something or suggest something to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never know where you're going to get this. Now, if you want to take the time off, you're certainly welcome to take it off.
Mm-hmm.
But look for it anywhere and everywhere. It can happen in, the donut shop or something.
Okay.
But starting at the beginning of May and going out for about 18 months,
uh-huh.
you get lots and lots of opportunities to express yourself, change yourself.
That's awesome.
It really is awesome. And because people, sometimes they have a reaction like, oh, well, what's wrong with me now? There's nothing wrong with you now, but let's face it, a makeover every once in a while is good for the soul.
Sure, you know, I definitely want a makeover.
Yeah. Well, you'll have it coming, and that's lovely. But no, first thing, start your detox.
Mm-hmm.
Start it tomorrow.
Okay.
You know? Start getting ready.
There's so many, I just can't decide on which route to take, so I'll have to figure that one out. There's tons of them.
There are tons of them. I just started doing one on, call next week, or listen next week, because I wanted to do this for at least two or 3 weeks. I've been doing it for 10 days now, and I feel really good,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want to just recommend something
mm-hmm.
that I've just been doing for 10 days.
Well, go ahead. What is it?
Okay.
That's good. That's long enough, darling. I can't even make it past two.
So that's funny.
2 days.
No,
as long as I can do
it. It's a product line. It's called Isagenics.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll talk about it next week because
mm-hmm.
we're getting ready to go off the air. Thank you,
okay.
ma'am. We only have 1 minute left, and I need to remind everybody to go to searchbythestars.com and not only get your free horoscope, which you can do under free stuff,
mm-hmm.
but put in the birth date and time, if you have it, of your loved one's birthday, month, and year to find out what kind of gift they want. With Valentine's Day coming up, this you can go better than the candy and flower route. Oh, good, you're still on the line. That's it? Yes, and of course you can always buy a copy of the book, Gift Giving by the Stars, and it comes... Sure.
Gee.
You know what? I started reading it when I was a child. And okay. I was actually going to try to prove astrology was ridiculous.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, seriously. That was my thesis in high school. It was a high school thesis. Why astrology is bunk, because I was such a science geek. And the more I studied it, the more I started reading it.
Oh, that is hilarious.
I realized what it was. And then I was fortunate. There were three groups in Washington, D.C. that got together.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined. I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was around, you know, some of the best astrologers in the area. I was too young to know it. And I just started doing charts, and I learned from them.
You bought books? You studied it?
I bought books. I bought the old books, and I tell people, I recommend, well, of course you can buy my book.
Okay.
It's a good beginning astrology book that's searched by Gift-Giving by the Stars.
Okay.
Pardon me. Gift-Giving by the Stars. But I like the Alan Leo, Alice Bailey, Dane Rudyard. I like all the old writers. Rob Hand is one of the best modern writers that there is. Demetra George is an excellent writer. She's a modern writer. A lot of the writers, what they do is, God love them, Debbie Kempton Smith is a modern writer. She's only put out one book. She's excellent. She's a tropical astrologer, but her stuff is good. Most writers, what they do is they read other people's work, and they sort of reform in their own words.
Right. Right. And that's what most people do.
Right. And they don't spend the time really researching charts. The
right.
old guys did that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they did. So.
And who were the old guys? You just named
the old guys. Were Alan Leo.
Okay.
And even Rob Hand. I don't think he'd be happy if I called him being called an old guy.
Okay.
But he was. Well, he's in the school of the old guys. Charles Jane was an excellent astrologer. Again, tropical, but excellent. Alice Bailey. Her stuff is esoteric, but it's good stuff. Dane Rudyard, his stuff is very psychological, but it is excellent. It talks about why the signs have the impact that they do, why the planets have the impact that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway.
And we chose to be born under the influences.
I think we
certain,
do.
To push up against that energy.
I think we do.
Okay.
I think that makes a big difference. Leanne, I got to get out of here. We're probably off the air right now and don't even know it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.